today's scripture reading is Micah 4, verses 1 through 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths." For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees. And there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise. Though the nations around us follow their idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
I'll start off with the thing that Super Bowl Sunday, and I tell you that even though it's Super Bowl Sunday, we probably have some people who didn't come, even though the game's later, but still, I think that God has something to say to us today. I really do. I really do believe God has a timely message. Even though this was written thousands of years ago, we have a timely message for today. We're going through the book of Micah, and the prophets, I always thought of as gloom and doom. I always thought of as that, when you hear the word prophets, most people go, "Oh, you're going to be destroyed, and there's destruction, and the end times are coming, and all that stuff." But the thing is, every one of them has a message of hope if we listen to God and repent. So I get to be lucky. I'm the first one in all this. Last week, Larissa got to talk about, remember anything? Like, what was this passage of scripture dealt with? What?
Cannibalism.
And it might have been metaphorically, but still, there was cannibalism. There's all these bad things. And Evan, before that, was talking about the bad things the leaders were doing, and they were stealing people's property, and, all this stuff. And just all these bad things. I get to be the first one that actually has a message of hope in there. So I'm sort of glad. Last week, Larissa talked about how leaders were using their influence to promote their selfish motives. With this message of hope also comes, this message today, a clear look at our path to safety and security, and that it may not always come about the way we think. Today, again, we want to do more than listen. We want to look at those around us and look into ourselves. What are we listening for, though? We're going to be listening for today. God will bring you to a place of safety and security. And he will give you victory over all of your life situations. That's what we're listening for. But if we do more than listen here today, we're gonna look and see that there is often a journey to that place of safety and security. And that may not always feel so safe and secure. And this place is most often better and different than we can imagine. But again, often the journey there isn't always what we think it would be. So what are some of the things that make us feel safe and secure?
Money.
Money. Yes, Shannon.
Love.
Yes.
Paid rent,
yeah.
Family.
Family, yes.
A raise on your paycheck,
yes.
A safe home.
Sort of on my notes here, there's one area that sort of hasn't been covered, but
how about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely. Something that honestly causes quite a bit of stuff, and that this section of Micah, we're really talking about the leaders
in their community? How often do our leaders add to our sense of safety and security? Our bosses, government leaders, religious leaders, people who couldn't find the right word, but people who are bringing social change or activists can often make us feel secure if it's something that we're on board with. We have all types of things that make us feel safe and secure. I had a time working years ago where it was many years ago, and I was delivering appliances, and we got paid by the piece. And there was only one guy getting paid by the piece who made more money than me. And because it just had an efficient system, hard work, and I was actually making more per hour on piece rate. This is 15 years ago than I am now, and I make a good wage now. And then I got given this guy named John. He came, and he is the person who helped me deliver appliances. And John looked for every way to get out of work. He was almost always the slowest guy. I come out of the truck. One time I came out of the trunk and he had a truck and back of the truck, and I went in to find out what's going on, and he's drawing pictures with the marker on the boxes. I'm like, what's going on? You know, don't you guys were paid by the piece? And my paychecks went dropped. And I went and talked to my bosses, and almost in tears, my voice shaking, saying I needed something else. And then I wish I could remember it was so many years ago, because there was either a message that Kelly was probably preaching, or in the midst of a worship service, something, but something happened where God spoke to me and said, who's in control of your paycheck? Who's in control of your paycheck? Is it John, or is it me? Is it the company you work for, or is it me? Is it you, or is it me? I surrendered that to God, and I said, God, if it's your will for me to work with this guy and make no money, I will do it. The very next week was my largest paycheck ever in company, my history with the company. 4 or 5 times what I had been making. But I had to surrender, and I had to go through something. So often the safety and security doesn't come. I didn't feel safe and secure to keep working with this guy who was lazy and didn't want to help me make money. But guess what? God had a different plan. So I'm not going to tell you that today that if you surrender your struggles today at the altar, everything's going to be solved. Next week, your paychecks are going to be bigger. All of your relationships are going to be restored. All of those things. But I believe it's a step towards that direction. Amen. It's a step towards that safety and security that God has for us. And at the end of my message, I'm going to give a chance to everyone. I have opportunity to respond for God for you to surrender things to God and try and step into safety and security in your life. But let's get into what Micah actually says here. This is last week, Marissa's message dealt with all the atrocious sins of the leaders. They weren't loving God by doing that, and they weren't they weren't loving God, and they weren't loving people by doing that. And by the way, anyone know what do we say here at Grace? What's our phrase?
Love God,
love people, serve joyfully. So they weren't doing two of those things. And I'm sure the serving, who knows? Maybe they were joyful while they were robbing people their money, but they were missing two of the things. So chapter 3 dealt with what the leaders did. What I like about chapter 4, it deals with what God will do. And to me, that's pretty amazing. Most of these verses are an opposite of chapter 3. So chapter 3, the leaders were teaching what benefited them. But chapter 4 says the Lord will teach us. So most of these, there's a sort of a dueling thing if you were to go through and compare it with chapter 3 and chapter 4. But I just want to read through this section and notice the word will. And I haven't bolded on there, but it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills. And people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes among between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight nation, nor train for war. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear. The Lord of heaven's armies has made this promise. Though the nations around us follow their idols, we will follow the Lord of our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's something we should dance. I'm not the best dancer. But so when I work, I'll do the Pentecostal two-step. So I don't spin in circles that well. I'm sometimes afraid I'm going to fall over, but yeah. But these all things speak to safety and security. The Lord's house will be the highest of all. The Lord will teach us, not the corrupt religious leaders. The Lord will mediate and settle disputes. Resources will not be spent on war, but to bring livelihood. When it talks about weapons being turned into farming tools. We'll live in peace and prosperity, that we will not have to rely on other nations or people for their provisions, talking about enjoying our own grapevines and figs. There will be nothing to fear. I say hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. So, Larissa, are you a little jealous we get to, no cannibalism? There's a little more to this, so we'll jump in here a little bit, but because there is more, sort of. There's more promises, sort of. All this almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Remember I said in the beginning, if you do more than listen and we take a clear look, our path to safety and security may not always come about the way we think. So we switch from just some of the safety and security things here and in Micah, and the passage starts to talk a little bit more. It's still using will statements, but it really has more about some of the dreams for the Jews to be the greatest and strongest nation on the earth and some of these things. So if we jump to, if we go to Micah 6 here, Micah 4:6. It says, in that coming day, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiles, and those whom I have filled with grief. Those who are weak will survive as a remnant. Those who were exiles will become a strong nation. Then I, the Lord, will rule from Jerusalem as their king forever and ever. As for you, Jerusalem, the citadel of God's people, your royal might and power will come back to you again. The kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. So, just to use the phrase we're doing, but if we're going to do more than listen to this, we just listen to that, and I think we can often hear all these things that God will do. But besides anyone who's on here in the worship team, because you guys already heard the spoiler here, has anyone noticed anything else in that scripture? Dorian, if you could just wait, but I just want to know. And what I write here, is there anything else you notice that's different than all these things that God will do? There's a little hidden thing there that I'm sure they were going, yes, yes, yes. And then they probably did a double take. Anyone? Any takers? All right. Dorian, if you want to jump back to that slide. It says, in that day, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiled. Oh, and those whom I have filled with grief. Those who are weak will survive as a remnant. Those who are exiles will become strong, a strong nation. Interesting. This looks like a great promise. But it looks like there's something else going on here. Something might be happening that doesn't seem so safe and secure. There's all these things, and there's and the thing is it's pretty obvious that they figured it out in this here, because if we look at the next verse here, it says, "But why now are you screaming in terror?" They caught it. They caught it. They did the double take and said, wait, what's this exile thing? What's going on here? And by the way, it happened. They went and were exiled 100 years, whatever, you know, give and take. And it's all fairly well documented in other books in the Bible what happened. But I think they would die. I'd be doing like, whoa, wait a minute, God, here. What about those promises? How are we going to be exiles and we're going to be the greatest nation on the earth? And how are we going to be exiles and live and have safety and security living under someone else's rule and in somebody else's country and land? Living on other people's properties, how are we having safety and security? If we just go on here, but why are you now screaming in terror? Have you no king to lead you? Have your wise people all died? Pain has gripped you like a woman in childbirth. Writhe and groan like a woman in labor, you people of Jerusalem. For now you must leave this city to live in the open country. You will soon be sent in exile to distant Babylon. Sometimes our path doesn't always feel to safety and security, doesn't always feel that good. Feel that safe and secure. I mean, I had a time, as much as I did not do a double take, I guess I went into it blindly, but Sissy and I, years ago, from day one after I gave my life to the Lord, I sensed a call to what most people would call ministry, full-time ministry. I sensed a call immediately. In fact, it was confirmed so strongly once that, and I've shared this here before, but in 1 week, I had, in like 5 days, I think it was, I'd have to run through my head because I wasn't planning on sharing this part, but I think it was 5 days, I had 6 people come up to me, random people, 2 of them I knew, but one was an evangelist who was coming in, the other one was the pastor's, senior pastor's wife, but they came and said, you know, God's called you to be a pastor, and not only that, but then I had this random guy come to me on the street and say, you know, I was walking by, he turned around and came right back to me and says, God's called you to be a pastor. I was in the grocery store. This guy comes running. Running. He works there. He works at Safeway. And he comes running. And Kelly knows him. But anyway. Comes running. I'm like, what this? Did I steal something? He's running from all of us. So I said, he says, God has called you to be a pastor. And I go on with the rest of that, but I just want to make it clear. I know God has made it clear to me the general path that I'm supposed to follow. And then I can't remember how many years ago, but I'm just feeling a call that I'm supposed to do something else. And it's not really pastoring. That almost eliminates the ability to pastor. And I'm Sissy and we went and drove truck over the road for several years, seven and a half years. And now the thing is, going into it, I didn't do the like, wait, God, what are you doing? Because I actually had, again, you know, those of you know Anthony Johnson, he came up to me, I'm like, just wanted to share with him, I'm like, you know, I think the Lord's leading me another direction. He says, oh, don't worry, you're hearing from the Lord. God spoke to me like 2 months ago that you're supposed to go and drive a truck over the road. I never even mentioned it to him. So it was just sort of like, oh, okay. And then I sit down with Kelly and say, you know what, I just want to talk to you about what God's doing in my life. He says, you're going to tell me that you're going to take another full-time job and you're not going to be able to work here at the church. I'm like, okay. There's just these things. And I'm like, You know, and I don't think Keller was saying that's a word from the Lord, but that was just interesting that that's the first place he went. So I didn't go into it like with the double take, but I went into it, and you know what? There were some things I loved about it, but those were some of the most, the darkest times of my Christian walk. I mean, not like some deep, dark sin. I don't want you to think in that way, but just times where I went long periods of time without really sensing the presence of God, and where, and again, I wasn't in great fellowship with other Christians that much. I mean, I call on the phone. It was some dark time. And again, I had this passion to do ministry. But where do I do it? When you're sitting in front of it in a chair for a seat for 11 hours a day, it's hard to do any ministry. And I tried praying. I did these things, but it was tough. It was a tough 7.5-8 years for me personally. And now, during that time, there were some great things. I tell you what, I came coming out of that. I had the time to think, and I came out knowing exactly what my calling was. Not sure when it was going to come back together, but I knew exactly what it was. I can define for you exactly what God has helped, what has called me to do, and that's to help people walk into having changed lives, people having a life that is transformed by a living God. And I tell you, nowadays, if it doesn't fit in there, I already know, unless it's just God telling me to do it, it's not what I'm going to do. God is there. I came out knowing clearly some different things. A place where I could even be more secure in ministry. And I came back, when it was finally came back, I came back with a new fervor for preaching that I didn't have before. A new sense of anointing. It was a great time where there's safety and security.
Yeah.
But I went through 7.5 years. Call it desert darkness. It was tough. It was tough, especially the whole time. I would be like these guys, probably going, I know, God, you said you want to do this. You said you're going to fix my life. You said that we're going to have victory over our enemies, but it doesn't feel like it when I'm living in their house under their rule. By the way, I'm glad I'm back. I'm back.
Yes.
So are we. Yeah.
Amen.
So I just want to tell you, but sometimes that journey to safety and security doesn't feel so safe. Something I appreciate about Micah is, out of all the prophets of this era, Micah is sort of the clearest on the fact that our journey to the promises is not always easy. Also, that even after we repent, if we feel the conviction, what's right, conviction and repentance, right, Jessica? I mean, Larissa, I called you Jessica, but conviction, repentance, right? You talk about the order of things that bless me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I know there were a few there that I was missing, so sorry. And I called you Jessica too instead of Larissa, so. Even if we go through those processes, that there's still consequences for our actions that we have to go through. A thief who has received forgiveness from God and even others, but still often has to repay his debt. Much as I hate even talking about this, but an unfaithful spouse can be forgiven and be miraculously changed. But they still have consequences in the relationships that they've hurt. So there's often, and Micah actually deals with that. He makes it sort of clear up front. It's that we don't just go back in history and look like, oh yeah, they repented, but it was 300 years later that the promise is actually that if you repent, I'll do this happen. Micah's just a little more clear about that. And am I going to tell you that your promises are going to be 300 years later? No, that's not really the thing is, but sometimes there's a journey to get to the process, to the promises. The most important, but so we have these promises. Next week, Kelly's going to be talking about probably one of the most important promises ever prophesied. So anyone guess what that is if you want, but it's there. But just if we go on the text again, there's more promises about great things that happen. Which Doreen, I'm just going to skip over this. You can go in there and look, but there's more promises about things that are going to happen, and they're really actually with victory over enemies. But we have many promises about safety and security. But I just want to ask you today, do you need to surrender to God's will to reach that place of safety and security? Are you looking for safety and security? Anyone here? Say, I'm in the process of looking for it. I know someone who was years ago, and Judy and Kevin would gladly let me share it, and again, I've shared this, some of you may have heard this in the last few years, but our good friends, cousins, ministry partners in the past, but relatives, Sissy's cousin, I was on staff with her at another church, and we usually all had a time of prayer in the morning. Many of us would come and pray at the church at the same time. There was one morning she just started weeping and weeping. And I went to ask her what was going on. She couldn't even hardly tell me. But then it all made sense. See, she had been told, she had gone on a date with the children's pastor from another church about 2 years before that. And she felt clearly that God told her, that's your husband. When people asked a date that even seemed good, she said, no. God told me this is my husband. And then, about 3 months before this, guess what? They'd never been on another date, but he comes on staff at our church. And she's like, yeah, God's working the miracle. And she is excited. She's just all over the place. But he is showing no interest in her at all. No interest. It was all business. She'd try and strike up conversations about his personal life. Nothing. If it wasn't business, he wasn't talking about it. And other people were asking because we all knew about Trudy and her love, all this, how she felt. So we're all asking, and he just kept very, I'm not interested in all that. And she was just weeping. I mean, one time, this is like 45 minutes. She is just bawling. And she says, I gave it up to the Lord. She says, I just told God that if it's your will, I'm just giving Kevin to you. And if you don't want him, if we're not to be together, that's your will. I'm just moving on with life. And again, the thing I don't like about this story is sometimes promises, things don't happen this quick. But that afternoon, he asked her out on the first date. But I do want to say, is there something that often God works that way? Maybe not as quick as two of the things I've shared. My paycheck, my pay at my former job, and this. It may not happen that fast, but often there's a place of surrender that we need to come to. If you want that safety and security, you may need to surrender things.
They have to get married.
Yes, they're married. Yes, they are married. They have two kids. One just turned 18, moved out.
And they're doing good.
Yeah, they're doing great. Yeah, awesome. Probably one of the best examples of marriage you could find out there. So it's pretty awesome. But I just want to say today, maybe you've never entered into a place of surrendering things to God. Today can be your day. There may be a journey ahead, but today can be your day. Maybe you're in a place where you have surrendered things, but they don't seem to be coming to pass. But I invite you today to come to the altar, have the Holy Spirit renew your hope. If you say, look, I felt years ago that God said this is going to happen, and it's just not. Often, stuff with family, maybe stuff with their own finances, stuff with other things. Maybe it's, just have the Holy Spirit renew your hope. And maybe you've already been through the process. Maybe God's prompting you to surrender again. Maybe there's some new journey God has for you. I tell you, we as a church are actually entering a season like that. We're entering a place where we're saying, as leaders, we're saying, God, what is it that you have for us? What do we need to do? What's the journey you have for us ahead? We believe that you have a promise for us to reach this community. But what is the process? What are the things that need to happen? I think we might go on a little journey. There's some things that might not feel comfortable as we go through that journey. There's things that might not, we might not even like. But guess what? We know that there's a promise at the end of it.
Amen.
The man needs to get to where God is calling us. We may not feel the safety and security we are used to having. Thank you.